be seated. The sermon this morning comes from John chapter 10. That's John chapter 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture." Pray with me. Father, help us now as we pursue you in your word. Help us to meet with you and understand what you have said. Anchor us in truth. Give us firm footing in righteousness in your Son, Jesus Christ. That we would know how to think, that we would know how to love, and we would know how to live. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A number of years ago, Leslie and I saw this news broadcast, and the story was that there was a small group camping in the mountains. And as the father and the son were off away from their regular camp exploring, the son asked if he could return back to his campsite on his own. And the father thought they'd been there enough, and they had been there long enough, that the son would be able to find his way back just fine. So he gave his boy permission, and if I remember correctly, the boy was about 11 years old. So the boy goes off on his own, starts hiking back to his campsite, and the father stays with the rest of the group, and sometime later, the rest of the group went back, and to the father's terror, his son wasn't there. A search began with the group that was there, and they searched, and they searched, and they searched, and they couldn't find the boy. So they called the authorities, and the authorities came, and they searched, and they searched, and they searched, and they couldn't find the boy. They called for broader help, and volunteer after volunteer after volunteer showed up. They had airplanes flying through the mountains and helicopters flying through the mountains. And they couldn't find the boy. They never found him alive, and they never found him dead. Sometime in the midst of the search, the father thought back, and he remembered as he was walking back to the campsite. He was coming across where there was a lake off to the left, and he thought he heard a voice. He thought he heard a voice call out, and he looked across and thought, "No, none of our people would be over there." For to this day, and probably for the rest of his life, that haunts the father. That he heard some call. He heard some small cry for help off in the distance. And this turns my mind to the other side of the coin. To the boy off in the forest. Lost and alone. And after he would cry out, how silent he would be. How intently he would be listening for the voice of his father. For a kind voice to say this way, or a kind voice to say over here. As you and I live in this world, a world of relative comfort. None of us are starving this morning. None of us woke up under a bridge. We have homes, and each of us, as I look around, I know that I care for each of you. There are people with you that care for each of you. And yet there is this spiritual place that is described here, and this spiritual need that's described here. I hear the voice of the one who would rescue you. To hear the voice of the one who would call you. To hear the voice of the one who would lead you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. To green fields. To still waters. In a place of safety and rescue. Even through the valley of the shadow of death. And all of this comes together, and all of this is for the sake of understanding and listening to Jesus Christ. Here, John is specifically writing about, and Jesus is specifically writing about, this flock that is the church, hearing the voice of Christ in the leaders. Hearing the voice of Christ in the preachers of the day. Now, Jesus is dealing with this tension because this religious group had risen up and it taught and it spoke and it had some form of authority, but none of it was really pointing to Jesus Christ. None of it was pointing to the true shepherd. And Jesus, in some place, had said, if you're those who do not gather with me, they actually scatter. So the call for you this morning is in your daily life, but also in the preaching of the Word. Also in the anything that you would read, anything that you would listen to that would be considered spiritual, or even any of the counseling that you would receive, is to listen for the voice of Christ. Listen for His voice, for His leading, and His directing. Our first step in listening and following the voice of Christ, we look at verse 7. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Jesus here is speaking in terms of coming into relationship with the Father. Coming into relationship with God. I've been thinking in these terms, the way that God works and speaks to us. There's this distance between God and man now because of our sin. And the way that God relates to us is through covenant, through an agreement, the way that He comes to us and draws us to Himself. And the way that we come is through a door. We come through a door that is the covenant, that is the new covenant, that's a relationship in Jesus Christ. See, it's not just this cold experience. It's not just this intellectual assent where we say, "Yeah, I believe that. I'm good." But it's about knowing Him. About knowing Christ. Hearing Him speak through His Word. Through reading the Scripture. Through the Word preached. Through interactions with one another with the Word of God. Through knowing Christ, through being loved and blessed and cared for in this relationship. Jesus is the door. Jesus' life and death is that sacrifice. It is that way to the Father, and it's by faith. It's about believing. It's about knowing Him. So many of us and people across the country and across the world right now, many are just going to church and they're just showing up because it's a good thing. One friend of mine told me that he had started going to church and he said, "And it makes me feel better." Well, that's nice. And that's warm and that's fuzzy. But that's not it. It's not it. Coming here and coming into the assembly, it's meant to be a time of fellowship, first and foremost with Jesus Christ, and secondly with one another. And we come to the Father by Christ, Jesus Christ is the one way to the Father. Now, let's look at verse 1 of John chapter 10. Truly, truly. And when Jesus said truly, truly, that's what he's saying. Listen, listen. He's saying, grab a hold of this. This is something meaningful and significant. This is something that impacts your life. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. Now this idea of entering is significant here. Entering what? Might be the question. Entering what? What's he talking about? Well, he's talking about an entrance here. He's talking about entering into a family. He's talking about entering into a household. I'll point you to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ. So here we have these two designations here. Someone who is separate from Christ, as opposed to those who are united to Christ. Separate from Christ. Excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. And strangers to the covenant of promise. Having no hope. And without God in the world. How about that position? No hope. No hope. And without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier, the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, establishing peace. This is the idea of being brought in to family. Being brought into someone's house as a member. Being sons and daughters of God. And remember the other side of that. Without hope. Without God in the world. Under that enmity and under that curse. Now, as we embrace that reality, as we focus on that reality, a gratitude swells in us. Seeing that we have been brought from that place of being without hope, without God, and into his household and into his family. So we think in these terms of entering into the household of God and entering into the family of God. Now, our next step, we look at verse 1 again. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into this fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. So he's saying here that these people who are your leaders, who have been your guides, who have been directing you, who have been teaching you, but are not embracing Jesus Christ, they're thieves. They're liars. Later on in verse 10, it says, the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But we look at people, and despite all of this, despite them not trusting in Christ, we see people who do good things, don't we? People who bring kindness and gentleness. people who provide for earthly needs. People could have pointed at the Pharisees of the day and say, look, but they preach the Bible. Look at the Sadducees and the priests and say, they offer sacrifices. They work in the temple. Aren't they good? Jesus says, no. Even if they're teaching the Bible. Even if they're working in the temple. Even if they're working in the church. If they haven't come by way of Jesus Christ. If they're not pointing to Jesus Christ. They're a thief. They're a robber. They're a liar. You can listen to people on Christian radio and find thieves and robbers and liars. You can find people in churches who are in pulpits who are thieves and robbers and liars. You can find people in different counseling groups who are thieves and robbers and liars. If they don't bring the voice of Christ. If they don't point to the one door. If they don't point to Jesus Christ and His work and His sacrifice. You see, good stuff that doesn't point you to Jesus isn't really good stuff. Again, John 10:8 says, all who came before me are thieves and robbers. It says, but the sheep did not hear them. You see, these thieves and these robbers are the same thing that you and I are tempted to be. We're tempted to be glory thieves. We're tempted to point to ourselves, to our own good works. We're tempted to point other people in the same way. They're glory thieves and they're sheep thieves as well. Rather than leading people with Christ, lead people away from Christ. Because even our good works can lead people away from Christ if they point to ourselves rather than pointing to Christ. Now our next step is in verse 2. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. Here, this is our fourth step. I call upon you to embrace true shepherds. Embrace true shepherds. There's people who would point you to Jesus Christ. There's people that would point to His work and point to what He has done. Jesus here is laying it out for you, and He was laying it out for the believers at that time. These are the people you listen to. These are the people that you can trust. These are the people that you can go to for counsel. These are the people who will direct your souls. Those who point you to eternal life in Jesus Christ. I was talking to someone recently, and they were in the midst of making a life-changing decision. Life-changing. And I eventually got around to asking them, how many elders have you consulted as you were making this decision? And he said, when you say elders, you just mean older people? I said, no, I mean actual elders. I mean actual people that God has placed in the church, that God has called them ordained and set apart for the purpose of shepherding a flock. How many of those have you asked? He said, well, I guess none. My counsel was, I think it would be a good idea to do that then, don't you? You know, to seek direction. To seek help. To take counsel. Now, but how do you know? How do you know who to listen to and who to listen for? It's the ones that you can hear the voice of Jesus when they speak. Recently, Leslie and I, we were on a date, thanks to First RP's Vacation Bible School, and a song came on the radio, and I told Leslie, I said, I like the sound of that voice. Do you know who that is? And she said, it sounds like Taylor Swift. And I said, huh, I don't know Taylor Swift. What does Taylor Swift sing? She said, I have no idea. I said, And I asked, then how do you know that that sounds like Taylor Swift? Well, she's a musician. And in her mind, in her thinking, a voice is like a face. She can just hear someone, and she can recognize them. She can hear a song, and she can recognize someone. Hear from a relationship with Christ. Hear from knowing Him. Hear from reading His Word. Hear from time and fellowship with Him. You know what He sounds like. You know what He's about. At the seminary, a lot of us would get into the idea we would want to find other things and better things and secret things. And one of the things that a guy got hooked up on was the Apocrypha, these books that were written but weren't included in the canon of Scripture. And he thought he's going to find something new and exciting. And one of my professors just casually said, "I read the Apocrypha." He said, "I was not impressed." And I asked him why. And his answer was, he didn't hear Jesus. He didn't hear the voice of God there. But how do we know the voice of God? How can we listen for it in the people who are preaching and teaching, or the books that we're reading, or the counseling that we're receiving, if we don't take time ourselves listening to Jesus? Because again, this is all about relationship. This is all about knowing Him. It's all about being in fellowship with Him. Now, the way this takes place, let's look at verse 3 now for our fifth step, to look for the work of God. We have a beautiful illustration or an example here of the sovereignty of God and the work that He does. To Him, the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. This idea here, the doorkeeper, here the doorkeeper is the Father. Father does this work of opening the door and people being brought in. He calls them by name. And there is something to that idea of God knowing your name. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. He knows everything about you. He's the one who formed you. The Scripture says, knit you together on the womb is the idea, in your mother's womb. Knows you that intimately. Knows your words before you speak them. He's numbered your days already, and He has established the boundaries of your habitation. Knowing you this intimately. And it's exciting that he calls you by name. You've heard me say, and you've probably heard others say before, as we'll see next chapter in John 11, the resurrection of Lazarus. Somebody said, "Why did Jesus say, 'Lazarus, come forth,' when He called him from the grave?" And somebody winsomely said, "Because if he just said, 'Come forth,' everybody would have come out of the grave." But this idea that He'll call you by name. Calls you by name. He knows you that well. You'd hear Him. And you'd know Him. I have, my salvation was in, as far as I know, in 1997. And I had these different memories of almost as if God was speaking to me. And I remember in some sense being called. And the voice was familiar to me in some sense. As if that was the voice that had spoken my soul into existence. May you have that kind of intimacy and fellowship with Christ, that when someone else speaks, you could say, "That's Jesus talking." You could say, "Those are the words of Christ." And you could confidently listen and confidently follow. Which brings us to our last step. Listen to Him so you will know Him. this knowing His voice is relationship. We look again at verse 4. When He puts forth all His own, He goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow Him because they know His voice. And, I enjoyed when I came to this verse here because it's 10:4, and my dad used to pretend like he was talking on the CB when he was talking to us. And we'd tell him something, and if he was in agreement, he understood it, he would say, 10:4, good buddy. This silly CB talk. But here it is, John 10:4. When He puts forth all His own, He goes ahead of them, and His sheep follow, because they know His voice. They know His voice. They know Him. It's as if I could announce the scripture to you and you could all say 10:4. I get it. I understand. I know Him. You see, we live in a world, and we will deal with this more next week as we look at verse 10 and the nature of the thief as he comes to steal and kill and destroy. That child that was lost in the mountains. Did he just go running the wrong direction? Did he just run and run and run and get so far away that he couldn't be found? Did he get cold at night and just curl up under a log where he'd never be found? Or was there a thief that stole him? You see, we live in a world and there's a spiritual realm. And there's a real danger for each of us. There's a thief that comes to steal and kill and destroy who would lead you away and guide you away. You have hearts that will want to run away from Christ. I want to say, as tragic as the story of this little boy is, I can say with full confidence, doesn't have to be you. You don't have to be lost. You don't have to be stolen. Because there's a good shepherd. And if you spend time with Him, if you know Him, you'll hear His voice. And you'll always know where to turn. You'll always know who to listen to. The call for you in this sad and weary world is for you to listen. Listen for the voice of Christ and to follow Him. Pray with me. For God, we thank You that You are our good shepherd. We thank You that we will never be without. Thank You that You speak and we hear Your voice. Thank You that You lead us in paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. We thank You that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we do not need to fear any evil because You are with us. Our God, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort us. And we thank You and we praise You for the great grace in our lives that has brought us out of the place where there is no hope. But You have given us hope, and You've made us members of Your own household. We rejoice in You and we praise You for this kind and mighty work. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Next psalm is Psalm 70.